Good Sunday to all of you. John and I have a topic that I thought was going to be really original, and then it turned out, coincidentally, that the Hall of Fame announcements were this week, and ESPN did a piece on this as well, but I did not read that piece. I don't think John did either. So we're going to talk about who we think are the current Hall of Famers in the NBA, who has a chance, who doesn't, who's in the Hall of Very Good. A lot of this stuff that to really go through. I did this probably, I think, like 4 or 5 years ago at that time, but obviously much has changed since then. So first off here, John, what is a Hall of Famer to you?
That is a great question. I mean, so there are a couple of standards. I think, was this guy one of the best players in the league at any point in his career, right? Was this guy good enough to be the best player on a good team?
And being clear, we are saying that this is our standards, not necessarily what these standards have been.
This is what I feel the standard ought to be.
Yes.
What the standard has turned out to be is something extremely inconsistent, but we'll get into that in a minute. Was he among the best players in the league at his position? Was he capable of being the best player on a decent to good team? Was he somebody you wanted on your team? Right. I think in a couple cases you'd question that, right? How long was his prime, right? Was it just 1 year, or was there multiple years of excellence? And then, you know, you can look to some other things as indicators, you know, when you talk about obviously things like All-Star, All-League, awards. But then you also kind of go through the record and look at it on your own, because there are some guys who are overrated or underrated for whatever reason, and maybe didn't get as many of those accolades or too many of those accolades. And so you have to allow for
perhaps
that
they were in the Eastern Conference over a 20-year period,
for example. Exactly. And then, the question, I guess, in the background of your head was like, was this guy really famous? Like, was this guy really worth making a big deal over?
Famous
is kind of a weird thing, but what I always, with guys from the big markets, what I always say is use the Charlotte test. If this guy had played his whole career in Charlotte, would we be having this conversation?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And I do think that there should be some allowance for this guy is a really important part of the story of the NBA, that you can't tell that story without this player. You know, he was just, and that doesn't mean that Robert Horry should be in the Hall of Fame, but, you know, Dennis Rodman maybe should, right? Like that, where you do to me get a bonus, and that's maybe a little unfair. It's luck of the draw, whatever, but having been on good teams, contributing in the playoffs, even if there are some players who weren't on good teams, didn't have as much of a chance to contribute, the fact is that those players did do what they did in the playoffs, and that's what this sport is about, and that does mean something. So that doesn't maybe give it as much of a boost for me as for some people, but it does give it a boost.
It's worth something, clearly. Two things to add to that, international competition and NCAA accomplishments, whatever they are. Carmelo Anthony, for instance, carrying Syracuse to an NCAA title, that definitely is something that should weigh in his favor in terms of being voted into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
So my standard that I look like as a, I think for a baseline, I want to see 5 seasons where you are one of the 20 best players in the league. That to me is, I think that should be the absolute minimum criteria, unless it's just a Bill Walton type of situation, who also had a great college career, of course. You know, he probably should get in just based on his college career.
Yeah.
Although, you know, again, we're not going to talk that much about college because, this isn't a college podcast, thank God. So at least not until the next lockout. So,
right.
Although I might want to just make it an Australian league podcast if there's a Euro league podcast if there's a lockout instead of college. I'd much rather watch that. But, unless you're a Bill Walton, there's actually a player that I will probably talk about who I don't know if he quite rises to Bill Walton level, but, you know, had a very, very brief peak as one of the best in the league, but then dropped off. So, but generally, you know, if you're talking about a guy who's just, I want to see 5 years of clear top 20 production before I'm even willing to think about it.
Yep.
Okay. I think another thing we can talk about too, just to give a baseline here are, well, now we can skip that. I don't think we need to talk about some of the players that we don't think should be in the Hall of Fame, because that's just like anchoring the discussion too low.
It does actually set the bar low. Cause there's been some, in general, if you were a role player on the Lakers, Knicks, or Celtics, obviously those teams have been disproportionately represented, particularly among, I'm not talking about the star players in those teams who are awesome and definitely belong. I'm talking about the guys who were secondary players in those teams who fail the Charlotte test so miserably, it's not even funny. And those are virtually all the worst Hall of Fame selections are from that class of player.
Yeah, or college coaches.
Well, let's not even get started on the college coaches. That's a whole other.
Well, I don't understand why college coaches get so much more love than NBA coaches.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
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 Like guys like can the guy at least have like made a Final Four? How about that? Like one Final Four in your career to get in, like not avoiding getting fired. I mean, there's 300 of these jobs, right? Like just because you manage to be a head coach somewhere, get fired for 25 years. Okay, let's start with this here. Right. Just players that we think are absolute locks. If they retired today, they never play another game. They have the goods right now.
Okay.
And no one comes to mind for me.
You can't think of anyone? Nobody with 15 all NBA selections or?
Oh, yeah. Like yeah. Yeah. The guy who's going to break the record for most number of all NBA selections this season.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say LeBron James is an easy call.
Yes. At a minimum, I would say the second greatest player of all time. Chris Paul. He's got to be in there also.
Yeah.
At this point, to me, I mean, since 2005 draft, been really a on average a top 3-point guard every year. Even and if you ever had any doubts this year when he's probably going to make second team All NBA in his 30s, it should probably assuage them.
Yeah, total.
Stephen Curry. Would you say Stephen Curry has done enough right now to be a Hall of Famer?
Yes, without a doubt.
Yeah. So he does have only 6 All NBA teams, mm-hmm. and started really his Hall of Fame resume begins in the 12-13 season. So it's really only about 7 high level seasons that he's got under his belt, but he was just so good during that period. And then also another player you can't tell the story of the NBA without Stephen Curry. 2 MVPs, one of them unanimous, the best offensive season that anyone has ever had in 2016. 73 win team, 5 straight finals, 3 championships in 5 years. I think he's got to be in, even if he never plays another game. Who else you got in this group?
So Kawhi Leonard obviously was, I think last year removed any doubt. Now has 2 finals MVPs, was clearly the best player on a team that won the championship. As you know, he only has 3 on NBA selections right now. He'd probably, you know, would get a 4th for this year, but just the body of work to this point, because the highs are so high and, you know, there's enough in terms of years now too. Like if he retired tomorrow, I think he gets in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And also, I mean, there is kind of like a tragic element that comes, you know, they call it the Gale Sayers effect with some of these players, where it's almost like if he just stopped playing now, he would have more of a chance than if he just like got injured and then came back and played 5 more years at a low level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think there's definitely something to that.
Or I guess we could maybe call that the Derrick Rose effect too.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Kevin Durant, clearly in, 2 NBA Finals MVPs, 2014 MVP, 10 All NBA selections. Yeah, I mean, but to me, if you've got 4 or 5 All NBA selections that are actually deserved, that's pretty good.
Yeah, generally around 5 is the threshold where all the guys with 5 and more pretty much just walked right into the Hall of Fame. There's 1 or 2 exceptions, I guess, but that's pretty much the trend when I was looking at it. I think while we're talking about players that Oklahoma City drafted in that 3-year wonder blitz, Russell Westbrook and James Harden also waltz right into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Westbrook, 8 All NBA selections, only 2 first team, but point guard, very stacked, 2017 MVP, a lot of playoff moments as well. Yeah, I mean, and also the inaugural player probably who would go in as a member of the Thunder. So yeah, that he's got to be in there. And Harden as well. I mean, he's been, wasn't he like top two in MVP like the last 4 or 5 years?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. And did of course win it in 17-18, plenty of all NBA performances as well. How about, all right. Yeah. I mean, Carmelo's got to be in there.
Carmelo to me, the thing that puts him over the top is, like I said, the international and the NCAA. He was so good for Team USA. And then so good in leading Syracuse to the national title that year. His actual NBA resume is kind of, to date, is probably like maybe, maybe not. But I think the other stuff is the wind at his back that makes him automatic. I think, you know, based on his fame, I'm sure he'll get in. But I'm just saying, in evaluating his career kind of objectively, he was never quite as good as people thought he was, but he was still pretty damn good.
Yeah, he was. What really stuck out to me about him was those years in New York when he didn't have a ton around him and they still had really good offenses. You know, and he wasn't known for his passing, but he's still, and his efficiency was, you know, more volume score type guy. His defense was never that great. But he played on some very, very good offenses that he was a big part of. And I think that to me, only 6 All-NBA selections, but I think that's enough. And 2 second team, 4 third team, never made a first team All-NBA. But also worth noting the longevity is pretty massive for him. And, you know, I would say he was a top 20 player in the league for well more than 5 years going by the criteria that I elucidated there.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. All right. Can I bring up one more guy?
I got a few more in this group actually.
Only has 3 All-Star appearances to his name. Only has 2 All-NBA, although one of them was a first team. The 2013 Defensive Player of the Year, and player who won the NBA championship and the FIBA World Cup in the same year this summer, Marc Gasol.
Yeah, no, he's a lock. I had him on my lock. I mean, because of the international stuff as well. Also a 2006 world champion, back when it was called the World Championships, a number of silver medals playing for Spain. You know, very, very impressive international career. And having won the championship this year, I mean, that, you know, just based on his NBA performance, what if it was only based on NBA?
It'd be dicey. I mean, his career totals, if you look at like win shares and VORP or whatever, wouldn't necessarily rule him in or out. He'd be in the gray group.
Yeah. And when he did make those all NBA teams, the center position was terrible. Like there was between the demise of Dwight Howard and the rise of this next generation of centers like Embiid and Jokic, the center position was really, really down. DeAndre Jordan made a first team All-NBA center 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, that, let's not talk about that. But Mark, won the Defensive Player of the Year award, which I think you go through that list, you're in some pretty elite company. Oddly, that was the only time he made the All-Defense team, which was a mistake, I think. But the year he was first team All-NBA, he was also the best player on a 55-win team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he definitely was at, whether it was at a true first team All-NBA level based on the quality of the position or whatever, he was at a really high level for that 2-3 year span.
I do believe that international basketball should matter, so I'd have no problem with him getting in. He would be very borderline for me. I mean, also, like, just a great, like, citizen of the game, and having won that championship last year was pretty big. Also, I think just the idea that you are associated with just, you know, one team and one era on a good team like he is in Memphis, that kind of resonates with me a little bit. But, you know, as far as like being a top 20 player in the NBA for 5 years, I don't think he quite fits that category.
Yeah, I think that's where it gets a little hazy on his part. While we're here, I don't know if we're considering this guy an active player or not, but I think Powell is right in.
Oh yeah, Powell for sure. Yeah, I think I don't think he's in the league now. So, but Vince Carter.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised how few All NBA teams he had when I was going through his resume. But
yeah, I mean, he really when you're talking about him as a true superstar, he probably only had like 3 or 4 years. How many All-NBAs did he have?
Just 2. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, 8 All-Star teams and only 2 All-NBAs.
Yeah, the Eastern Conference All-Star. But I think the dunking, the excitement, restoring the dunk contest. I mean, all of that means a little bit something. I mean, he may be the best dunker of all time. You know, I think like that he did capture a lot of people's imagination. You look at how so many people who grew up in Canada and are now good were like, yeah, it was all because of Vince Carter that I like really became fascinated with basketball. And then the longevity has to go in there too. I mean, it's not to just have played for 20 years, even though really probably 2010 was his last year at like even close to an all-star level,
mm-hmm.
but to tack on another 11 years after that.
Yeah, exactly. And his peak was high enough that he got MVP votes in four different years. So, you know, his peak was still pretty impressive.
Yeah. And those Toronto teams that he led, you know, were solid second round of the playoff teams. I think he'd be borderline to me without the cultural impact.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
give you another guy who I think might have made himself a lock in the last year. Kyle Lowry.
I had him on the late career question mark group. I think he will probably make it.
I mean,
let's think about it here. So 13-14 is probably his first, you know, all-star level, top 20 player in the NBA type of level. He's probably not in that group to me now. Rating much better by the advanced stats, but yeah, he disappointed in the playoffs a lot, but yeah, having a big performance as kind of a second/third banana last year, winning the championship, I think, and he's also still playing at a pretty high level.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's
again this year. Yeah. I mean, again, asterisk, it's the East, but he's still, you know, he's still adding to his resume.
Yeah. And I think he's aged better than expected so far. Yeah, I mean, I think I would ultimately put him in, but I can't say that he's just a lock to me yet, though.
Right, right. It's hard because the ceiling works against him. Like these other guys we talked about had much higher ceilings than Lowry.
Yeah, I mean, you could make an argument that Lowry had a lot of years that like he was better than Carmelo Anthony in some of his best years when mm-hmm. Lowry was in some of his best years. But I mean, by traditional statistics, no one would believe that. But Lowry, I mean, he had a run where he was a top 20, even top 10 player in the impact metrics for a 4 or 5 year period.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, Mo Cheeks is in, so throw everyone in.
The Mo Cheeks comparison will be used for every guard for the next 30 years. Oh, well, he had more points and assists than Mo Cheeks.
Mo Cheeks never averaged 15 points a game, only averaged as many as 8 assists once, and 4-time All-Star, very good defensive guard, but you know, just not when you go back and watch those teams too. I mean, he's like the fourth best player on those teams, fifth best player. And those teams had some nice runs, but
yeah, but it was Moses and Dr. J. It was, you know, Cheeks was a very secondary guy.
Yeah. I mean, teams. He was like, you'd have to say he was like maybe the fifth best guy in some of those teams. I mean, with Andrew Toney and Bobby Jones, a little better than Mark Ivoroni though.
Yeah.
I can say that.
You always got to take shots with the Virginia guy.
Oh, is he a Virginia guy?
Yeah, he is.
Huh. Okay, I think Dwight Howard is an absolute lock.
So this is what's so funny. People are going to have all these screaming debates about Dwight Howard. He has a stronger resume than several of the guys we just talked about. Like almost not even close. I mean, he was top 5 in the MVP voting 4 straight years. He was the best player on a team that went to the finals. 5 different, I'm sorry, I lost my train here. Is that 8 all NBA selections he had? Am I right? Did he have 5 first all NBA?
From 07-08 until 11-12, he was probably a top 5 player in the NBA for that period.
Yeah, exactly.
And then played at an all-star level for 3 more years after that. Obviously wasn't the same after the back surgery, but yeah, I mean, he had a smaller peak or a shorter peak than a lot of people, but when your peak is top 5 player in the NBA and you do it for, you know, 3-4 years, I think that's enough to me.
Yeah, yeah, completely agree.
And he could still be a contributor on some good teams here going forward. He's reinvented himself this year.
Yeah, 4 straight years, first team all defense, and 5 straight years, first team all NBA.
How many defensive players of the year did he win? He won like 3 or 4, right?
He won 3, yeah.
Yeah.
3 in a row. 9, 10, and 11.
Yeah. So he's got to be in. I mean, there's this, people don't want to play with him and stuff like that, but he's just too good.
In Orlando, to leave a player of that magnitude out of the Hall.
Yeah. And in Orlando, you didn't hear that about him, right? Like it was only later, like when he was really good. Okay. Here's one for me that I think this player is probably going to be a lock. by the criteria that I provided, I think he probably gets in there. More a longevity type of guy. Never someone that maybe even thought of a superstar. But he did get two max contracts, basically. LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Five All-NBA teams.
Yeah, that's probably the most impressive part is that...
Seven-time All-Star in the West.
He made All-NBA and the All-Star team at a time when the power forward position was really strong and the West was really strong. That is without a doubt the strongest part of his resume for this.
One was on a 67-win team, second best player on a 67-win team, and then a 61-win team in San Antonio. Probably best player on a very good Portland team that won 50 games years in a row. The impact metrics has never been as high on him as some of the traditional stats. I certainly acknowledge that.
But still, you know, like his like career win shares and stuff are like, okay, that's like pretty comparable to Hall of Fame. Like I just can't get to the point where he's like automatic though. There's like nothing.
No.
There's no extra. There's no special sauce with him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he had a few. You know, like 40-point playoff games where he was really unstoppable.
He had that Houston series. He had a game, actually, I think it was the first two games. Yeah, where he went crazy.
Yeah, they won the first two on the road. They had to start playing Dwight Howard and Omer Asik together to guard him. That was the only way they could do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think he's got to be in there. All right, let's. Do you have anyone else in your would be in if they retired today category?
Would be in if they retired today. No.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can. We'll take a break, and then we have another category here we can talk about. Some of these players may have done enough already, frankly, but I kind of think of them as needing a couple more years at their present level, and they're in. Blinkist, I can summarize it with one statement here. It's basically the fastest way that there is to learn about stuff. There are a lot of amazing nonfiction books out there, but I don't necessarily have 8 hours to read some of these. Blinkist gives you just 15 minutes that you can either read or listen to, giving you the key takeaways, the need to know information from thousands of nonfiction books. Whether it's The Sports Gene by my old Hebrew school classmate, David Epstein, The Secrets of Power Negotiating by Roger Dawson, an older one, Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. That was a formative book for me that I read back in my 20s. If there's a nonfiction book that you want to read, but you don't have the time, chances are it's available on Blinkist. The way to get started with them is at Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, like blinking your eyes, Blinkist.com/PER to start your free 7-day trial. That's /PER is easy to remember because John invented PER. Not only do you get your free 7-day trial at that Blinkist.com/PER link, but you will also save 25%. On your new subscription, so you can try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your subscription at that Blinkist.com/PER link. Don't forget that /PER to let them know that you came from us. Yeah, so this is the next category here that I had just need a couple more years to be total locks and might even be in right now.
Okay. Certainly, I mean, Anthony Davis is right at the top of that group, I think. We talk about a guy who already has 7 All-Star team appearances. He's going to get his 4th All-NBA this year. He's pretty close to the point where if he hung it up tomorrow, he'd get in.
Yeah. He only has 3 All-NBA appearances, but all 3 are first team.
Yeah, which if you go through the league's history, I'm not sure if there's anyone who has 3 first team All-NBAs who isn't in the Hall of Fame.
Huh, that's a good 3 first team All-NBAs is not in the Hall of Fame. Let's see here.
By the way, it's probably going to be 4 after this year. Oh.
Depends. I don't think so. If he's a forward, I don't think he'll make it. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, all these guys I'm looking at definitely are in the Hall of Fame. Who had 3? So yeah, I think, and Davis too, to me, he's been a top 7 player in the NBA basically for 5 or 6 years now. He did have the 1 year. I mean, the one downside is that he essentially had the trade year for New Orleans and then 15-16 where he basically just didn't finish the season. And that's but he still, when he was healthy, was playing at the same type of level that we're talking about here. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those things too, where like if he had just stopped playing tomorrow, he probably would get in if he like suffered an injury and then played at a average rate for a while. But yeah, I mean, like if you look, let's say you compare his resume to like Vince Carter, he's much better player than Vince Carter than Carter was at his peak. And he probably has already had a longer peak than Carter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. So I think he's going to end up with a pretty good case despite what people think about him right now. Between all the All-Star teams, like he definitely has a little bit more work to do. All the All-Star teams made the winning shot in a seventh game. I think that really helps him. You know, and he's still at an age where he can add to this. If he makes one more All-Star team or really does, I don't know, much of anything for the next couple of years, I got to think he's in.
Yeah, that's true. Now he last year he was on the All-NBA. I mean, he clearly is still playing at a Hall of Fame type of level, I think. You know, maybe a guy who's never would peak, you know, as maybe the eighth or ninth best player in the NBA. You know, I don't know. It's certainly never a top five player. It doesn't appear to be on that path now. So, and the injuries hurt. Some of the drama hurts as well, but especially when you throw in his playoff performances, the iconic shot that he hit in that, you know, maybe the most important NBA game ever played in terms of historical legacies and significance.
Yeah.
Some of those early All-Star selections were a little questionable because there's more, he's getting voted in as a starter. People are excited about this young rookie guard.
Yeah.
And that was also one of the nadirs of the East. But no, I think it's pretty clear. You know, you might have a debate though, if he's just, that's why I don't think he's a lock yet, but I think he probably even would be likely to still get in if he suffered a career ending injury.
Yeah. How about the guy who did more last season to improve his all Hall of Fame chances than anyone else? Paul George got a first team all NBA, finished third in the MVP voting. I think that season he had last year pushed him from like a maybe guy to like a 1 foot in guy where he just has to hold a pretty decent level for another year or two or whatever. And then I think he's probably skates in.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, George is another guy who, I mean, basically since 12-13 has probably been a top 15 player in the league. So I think he gets into me already, and I think he's going to age reasonably well just with his skill set and size.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He just is a guy who scales well too. I think once he is more of a second banana, I think his skill set in some ways will be more appreciated even than it was before, you know, cause he was kind of the best player on a 45 win team, not necessarily the best player on a 50 win team.
Yeah, exactly.
And also to come back from that broken leg, he's got a gold medal in 2016, all that. I think he should be in. Damian Lillard.
I think he's pretty much in right now. Doesn't need to do a whole lot else. Four all NBA teams already. Would think it's going to be a fifth this year. Three top eight MVP finishes. Five All-Star teams. That's okay, I guess. But I think, you know, best player on a team that went to the conference finals, kind of is going to hold every record in that franchise's history, I think, by the time he's done. Has some really iconic shots, obviously, in the playoffs. Wave goodbye to OKC, of course.
Amazing character and leader.
Been really durable too, beyond the advanced stats, you know.
And another guy who I think has been top 15 for probably since 14-15 and then top 10 really since that point, I would say lower end of the top 10. And also, I mean, the All-Star selections being low, point guard in the West, as you know from
don't get me started on that with Conley.
He'll come up.
Yeah.
I'm sure here. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I mean, he's in. I mean, I'm sorry, like
yeah.
He's going to be the MVP. He's going to be the defensive player of the year. Like I get why we have him in this portion, but like he's in. I mean,
I do think when guys get their careers cut short a little bit, that people are like, they're willing to extrapolate out a little bit, like what they would have done if they hadn't gotten hurt.
Yeah.
Now, someone like Derrick Rose, his peak was probably short enough that you can't quite do that.
But
Giannis also is playing at a much higher level than Derrick Rose ever did. Rose was kind of one of the weaker MVP selections. Giannis has been, top seven player probably for the last 3 years. And was this his fourth All-Star team?
Yes.
This year? Yeah. No, I think you're right. Clay Thompson.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. All right, so let's set aside that Clay Thompson is going to get into the Hall of Fame based on all the previous standards because he was a guy on a, you know, a significant player on a team that won multiple championships, which every player of that ilk has been voted in. You know, all these guys, that Mo Cheeks, like you brought up, Robert Parrish, you know, people like that. So Clay's going to get in. Is he a Hall of Fame caliber player?
I think so. I think he... It's been right around, you know, when you talk about the top 20 players in the NBA, he's had seasons where I think he would be in there, seasons where he's right on the borderline, but also the being one of the greatest shooters of all time, having some of the most iconic moments of all time.
Certainly that game six in OKC.
Oh, yeah.
That was definitely an iconic moment.
Yeah, holds the NBA record for most points in a quarter, 60 points in 29 minutes with 11 dribbles like that. And also I think he's, the advanced stats have never really liked him that much. In terms of the on-off stuff.
I was going to bring that up because I was going to debate you a little. Like, was he a top 20 player in 2015? Yes. Was he a top 20 player in 2016? Has he been that since then? I don't think so.
Well, so to me, this is all about fit, right? Like, Klay Thompson might fit better on any team than any player in the NBA. And his defense, while he doesn't make a lot of plays and get credit in the advanced stats for that, his ability to switch and guard really 1 through 4, even maybe 1 through 5, was huge. Like, they couldn't have played that system that they played that made their defense so good without him. Mm-hmm. And I also think that if he had been on a different team where he'd had a chance to run more pick and roll, I mean, we never see, for example, him pulling up off the dribble out of pick and roll. He just doesn't run that. Mm-hmm. I think that could have been like a very good threat. I also, if you look back at what he did in the first two rounds of the 2016 playoffs when Curry was out, he was unbelievable in that. So I think he really, especially because of the fit, if you wanted to say, hey, if you're just going to throw him on some random team, how many games are you going to win in the regular season? As opposed to, hey, this guy scales on a really good team in a way that very few players can. You know, like if you have, like he's the best second banana offensively that you can imagine because you can never leave him. And then defensively, he doesn't really have any weaknesses there either. So,
yeah.
I think he is a lock Hall of Famer.
The one other thing in his resume, which you didn't point out, but 73-9.
Also, never ever missed any games until this year. Yeah. But yeah, so I like there was a point where I felt he was overrated. And then I think my understanding and appreciation of him evolved just due to the fit. And I think he also, I would say he's been the second best shooting guard in the NBA over the last 5 or 6 years.
Wow. Are we calling James Harden and Paul George shooting guards?
I would think of George as a small forward.
Okay.
But I think he's better than like who else in that conversation. I mean, it's a weak position, but then you're also your value over replacement player is pretty high if you're at that position.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd put him above Bradley Beal, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You calling Jimmy Butler a small forward too?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And I don't know. Clay versus Butler is a very interesting question. I think Clay is a better Hall of Fame resume than Jimmy Butler.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
Let's take another quick break here.
Certainly the best player to never take a free throw.
Clay Thompson, yeah. You looking for a great gift for the polymath in your life? Well, the annual masterclass all access pass will let you get one annual masterclass pass for yourself and get one free to give at masterclass.com/PER. There's only one place that you can learn from the best in the world, like Stephen Curry, Margaret Atwood. My wife took her class on writing. She loved it. Martin Scorsese, Natalie Portman, Chris Voss on the art of negotiation. It is an absolutely insane list of masters in just about every possible discipline. And the way to get that 2-for-1 deal is at masterclass.com/PER. Easy to remember, /PER, because John invented PER. Masterclass.com/PER to get that amazing 2-for-1 deal at Masterclass. Next one here. Okay, that's everyone I had in that category. This one is very interesting. We can go through these guys a little quicker unless you feel like they have a strong case. I've labeled this one late career question marks. These players largely have their resume in the books. Mm-hmm. We talked about Kyle Lowry. I think Lowry has probably the best argument of this group, other than maybe one other player, and that's Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I think Blake Griffin's a Hall of Famer. I do. I think you can't tell the story of the NBA without this guy test. He certainly passes that. Was all NBA five times. Again, at a, playing a position and an era where there were a lot of good power forwards. Finished as high as third in the MVP voting.
Yeah, so, 2014.
Yeah, yeah. You know, those Lob City teams definitely disappointed compared to what people thought they might be able to achieve. But they still, I mean, they still won a ton of games. And then Griffin in Detroit last season in Detroit, like, he was awesome. Like, people forget that part. So I don't know what else he's going to give us. So it's going to be a shorter career. So that makes it a little bit tougher, but I think the highs were high enough to put him in.
So here's his trajectory in case people have forgotten. Didn't play his entire first year. Next year commences a run of five straight All-Star teams. His 14-15 playoff series against the Spurs was amazing. And I also didn't think he was the reason that they lost to Houston necessarily either. I thought he was pretty good in that series. And then it commenced a 3 years where he didn't make the All-Star team at all. But then I think actually last year that I think he was a top 15 player again last year. He makes it to me. I think he was a top 20 player from 12 through 15. So that's 4 years. And then also did it in 19. And still, again, the cultural impact was huge. Winning the dunk contest, being one of the best dunkers in NBA history, one of the most exciting players.
Yeah.
So I think he would make it for me.
Yeah. I mean, and even honestly, his 2017 season, his 16-17 season, like, he was good. He just missed 20 games. And that was like why he didn't make the All-Star team.
Yeah. Yeah. All-Star selections, by the way, are always suspect because it's based on half the season.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, and that's part of why I think some of them end up looking so dumb in retrospect. I put a lot more stock in all NBA, obviously. Although, again, I don't always agree with those voters. So anyone else on this list that, and Kyle Lowry, I agree with you. I think he should probably be in, but I still think of him as a question mark rather than a lock. Anybody else on this list that you think of as kind of a late career guy who's got most of his resume in the books that should be in to you?
I'm looking at these other names. There's one guy I think we need to talk about though, and that's Andre Iguodala. Cause I do think he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. He's a finals MVP. I just can't get over the fact that if he had stayed in Denver, there's no fucking chance he makes the Hall of Fame.
Never made an All NBA team. What does he have? Two All-Star selections, I think.
One.
Now you could argue perhaps that. Yeah, so he doesn't, to me, have five seasons as a top 20 player.
Clearly.
But he also was woefully underrated by some of the metrics that were available in the prime of his career.
I'd agree with that.
And I think, you know, by some of those metrics, he may have even been a top 20 player in the league and did get that finals MVP, which I don't think he deserved. I think it should have been Curry. And if not Curry, then LeBron in that finals.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what he did offensively was he was able to do that because of Curry.
Right. He's shooting wide open threes. I mean, we played them in the playoffs that year. Our game plan was to let Iguodala shoot wide open threes, right? Like, yes. that was our out.
It's a tough call for me. You think he's going to make it though?
Oh, I think he'll definitely make it. I mean, look at all these other guys from dominant teams that have made it. The third, fourth best players, all these, you know, Jamal Wilkes, Bill Bradley, people like that. Like, yeah, Iguodala's going to make it based on that.
Yeah.
Plus you can't tell the story of the NBA without him either, because he got his shit sent by LeBron on that, layup when, Cleveland won the title.
Man, not an Iguodala believer, huh?
It's a high bar, man. It's the Hall of Fame.
How many all defensive teams does he have?
You know what? When I was doing my prep for this, I did not write down his all defense.
Let me see if I can find it. It's not as many as you'd think, I don't believe. There's only two of those teams, obviously.
Two all defense teams, a first and a second.
Yeah, again, I would say that he was probably underappreciated with those. And I mean, Kobe Bryant made like 15 all defense teams or something like that. Like, I don't think that was something that I would look at as necessarily being the right call. There are a lot of years where Andre Iguodala should have been at all defense over Kobe Bryant, for example.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just you can make the argument like, okay, if he wasn't on Golden State, would he, you know, your Charlotte test? But then you can also say that he became appreciated because he was in Golden State. I think ultimately I probably would not have him in. He may be one of your ultimate Hall of Very Good players.
Right.
How about, but like, I really would agonize over that though. I mean, yeah. And he's better than a lot of people who are in too, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
Like compare him to like, you know, Bobby Jones, mm-hmm. for example.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar roll up, but I think he was much better offensively than someone like Bobby Jones.
And Bobby Jones was never the best player on his team. I mean, Iguodala was the best player on a team that won a playoff series. I mean, they won it because Derrick Rose blew out his knee, but still.
Anyone else here worth talking about that you think is even close? Who's your next closest in this group that I put together here?
I mean, we got to talk about Derrick Rose, right?
Yeah, I think it's just if he had won a championship, or even if he had just had one more year, you know, where they if they only had gotten to the finals in like that 2012 or something, maybe I could get there. But
yeah, because even that 2012 season, he missed a bunch of time that season, even before he blew out the knee in the playoffs.
Right.
So it was one supernova season where I don't really know if he was the MVP, but it was. I mean, it was a hell of a year, whatever it was.
Certainly,
if you string four or five of those together, you walk right into the Hall of Fame. But I can't get there.
Yeah, three All-Star appearances. I don't think so either. And he did suffer that injury. And I don't know if it was just his style of play or further injuries that he suffered, whatever it was. But if you were really that good, like most people who could come back from a torn ACL and still be at an All-Star level, you would think.
That's a decent point.
Maybe that's unfair. Because he was that good. I think he was at minimum a top five player. I'm not saying he didn't deserve that MVP, but he definitely wasn't the best player in the NBA that year. But LeBron had a really down regular season. Dwight Howard was kind of, you know, I don't know that people thought of him as the type of player to be the best player.
Yeah. And it was a great story, and the story won. Yeah.
Yeah. So he will probably be the only MVP to never be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think that's right.
In part due to the fact that he was so brilliant that he won it so young. Usually by the time guys get to an MVP, you've already been an All-Star for a long time. And so you already have the resume once you've gotten an MVP.
What about
Al Horford? Go ahead.
I was going to say, what about the best player ever to never make an All-Star team?
Byron Scott?
Oh.
Just kidding.
Oh, I will fight you right now and not even worry about COVID-19.
So, Mike Conley, was he ever a top 20 player in the NBA?
I think actually last year and in 2016-17, he had a case both those seasons. Both years he played really well in the second half of the season. And so it kind of got missed a little bit, but he was really good both those seasons. Couldn't crack the Eastern Conference guard rotation. They selected Lillard over him as an injury replacement in 2015, which still chafes at me. He doesn't have those kinds of things in his background. He was probably our best player in 17 and in 19. Oh, almost certainly, actually.
Yeah, I think had a couple of years that were kind of lost to injury, really didn't ramp it up to even All-Star consideration level until, you know, probably 12-13 would have been the first year that you even could have begun to have thought about that.
Yeah.
And then really, you know, two partial seasons after that, a lot of missed games in there. You know, it was another 56 game season in there as well. So I think there are really only two or three years where I would have had him in All-Star consideration. I've since 13-14, I've done a list of the top 10 players in the NBA, but I usually go down into honorable mentions in the same tier. I don't think I've ever really had him in consideration for the top 15, you know, maybe around the fringes of the top 20 a couple of years, but I can't get behind it personally. If you're trying to be as objective as possible, what would your verdict be?
Unfortunately, I think he probably doesn't get in.
Yeah. How about Al Horford?
Kind of the same thing. You know, really good player, really good teammate. I can't get there.
So the resume probably stronger than you think in terms of All-Star teams.
Yeah.
So five All-Star selections.
five,
but not Eastern a ton of All-NBA, right?
Eastern Conference All-Star selections.
Yes, that is true.
One third team All-NBA.
Never really did much in the playoffs other than the 18 season. Was on some pretty good teams.
Yep.
And underrated defender, but ultimately, yeah, another guy who I don't know that I ever would have considered him a top 20 player in the NBA. Maybe just in the 18 playoffs, he played at that type of a level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now if he had just been able to discover a 3-point shot a little bit earlier than he did, you know, things might have been different for me. But yeah, he's someone who could get in. Also had an 11 game season and a 29 game season, which hurts him, and only played over 70 games. Hasn't done that a lot. He's been kind of a 65 game player most of the way here in these last 7 or 8 years and less than that a lot of times. So yeah, I think the 4 All-Star appearances might get him in, but I would probably have to say no.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan?
Come on, man.
We have to talk about him
because he's going to end up with a lot of career points, and he's going to end up with, like, he's going to have these All-Stars on his resume. He's gotten MVP votes. He's finished 11th once and 8th once, 2 All-NBAs, made 4 All-Star teams. I just don't think he was ever nearly as good as people thought.
Yeah, I agree. The advanced stats were really bad, even when you get to San Antonio. I mean, there are plenty of years where his team was better with him off the floor than on. And yeah, those, the Lowry plus bench units were always good, but then that continued in San Antonio as well.
And we talk about playoffs as far as, you know, helping guys. I mean, his playoffs have been brutal. So I think that hurts him. So I can't get behind that one.
Paul Millsap.
Hall of pretty good.
What's he got for All-Star appearances? I mean, it is interesting when these guys like DeRozan and Millsap come to the Western Conference, and all of a sudden it's like you're not even thinking about them for All-Star when they're like right, locks on, yeah, they're yeah, locks in the Eastern Conference every year.
Locks, and now it's like, oh yeah,
yeah. That's being a little unfair to Millsap. Yeah, right. It's being a little unfair to Millsap because he moved into a new era of his career when he went to Denver in terms of his age. But yeah, no All-NBA teams. Very underrated defensive player. But yeah, I think that's ultimately Hall very good. And he didn't really start playing at an All-Star level until he got to Atlanta. And that was only, what, a 5-year period there?
That was wasn't that like a 2-year period?
Well, that he was actually in Atlanta.
Yeah, he spent 4 seasons.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're in agreement. He's out. I got one more for you here. Won a Eurobasket in 2017, Goran Dragic.
If we're taking left-handed Western Conference point guards from this era, I think he has to get in line behind my guy Conley.
Well, he did make an All-NBA team 2014, although he did not make the All-Star team that year. And one All-Star team, I think, which was like a bad replacement selection. That was as recently as last year.
That was a Lifetime Achievement Award. Yeah, that was a gift.
The only reason I thought to bring him up was because he's international, but one Eurobasket is not enough. If he was like winning World Cups with Slovenia, then we can.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little different. Yeah. Right. So of that group, Kyle Lowry and Blake Griffin are the only ones that we really agreed on that should be in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. This is the next group I have, which will probably also be pretty controversial. Borderline, if they keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
Got 6 guys in this group. Who do you like the most out of this group? In your opinion, they should get in.
Rudy Gobert. I know he just made his first All-Star team this year, but you're talking about a 2-time Defensive Player of the Year. Could maybe get a 3rd one this year. Has made 2 All-NBA teams already, even though he's only made 1 All-Star team, which is really weird. An elite player at his thing. And, you know, is he the best? He's not the best center because of Jokic and Embiid, but he's definitely top 3-4 center in the league for a few years now, and probably should be able to keep that going for a couple more. I think he's going to end up with a really strong resume. Hasn't been able to do anything overwhelmingly successful with the French national team, but could add to his resume there too.
Rudy Gobert over Draymond Green?
Yeah, that's the other guy we need to talk about. Yeah.
I mean, Draymond to me has a better defensive peak than Rudy, more versatile, better offensive player at his peak, 2 All-NBA teams, more All-Star teams than Gobert. And I think he is more defensively versatile at the highest levels than Gobert. And you know, he gets the bonus from being on this great Golden State team for a while. He's only had really 5 seasons
Yeah.
At a high level.
Yeah, the short peak is going to hurt Draymond, I think, when people step away and look back at his career.
And really only probably had three seasons where I would consider him to be, you know, playing at an all-star level. Now, 17-18 and 18-19, he brought it in the playoffs. Again, you know, he played, it was probably the best defensive player in the playoffs those years, but he had pretty crappy regular seasons.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, defensively, peak Draymond was holy shit. Like, this guy is so good. Just read everything that was coming. You couldn't get past him. You couldn't post him up. He was just a terror.
Well, are you willing to retract your blasphemy to have Gobert higher than Draymond Green on this list of borderline?
Are we talking about present accomplishments or what I think will happen? Like, I think
you're talking about what'll happen in the future. Yeah, I guess if we're looking forward here, which is really kind of more where we're at now with these guys who don't have the complete resumes. Yeah, that's a good point that you like Gobert's future better than Draymond's enough. You would agree that Draymond's resume is superior to Gobert's as of now.
As of now, yes.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think, like, Gobert is going to be better than Draymond going forward. I think that's fair to say. Taller, younger. But Draymond, to me, has such a head start on him. And I think it's also pretty unlikely that Gobert is going to be part of a high-level championship type of team, given what his salary is going to be, and that he'll probably be in Utah for a while. Well, I mean, we'll see about that. But, I like Draymond's chances better than Gobert. I think he has a higher peak than Gobert. I would put him above Gobert on this list personally. But I see the argument and also we'll see with Draymond too. Like they're going to be good next year if he has another great playoff run.
Yeah, that could cement it. You're right.
Yeah, he's one where it's going to be so much more about the playoff impact too. So I got four other players in this group. Okay. So you think, I think Draymond will get in. I think I ultimately, he's very much on the borderline for me. But then when you look, also his college career too, didn't he make like four Final Fours or something in his college career? Or like three Final Fours in his college career?
How many did he make? He made at least one. He didn't make four because he left after his junior year. So he definitely didn't.
He played 4 years.
Draymond?
Yeah.
After his junior year at Michigan.
All right, who can look it up the fastest?
Yeah, let's see. I'm getting killed by my scroll.
I don't need to look it up though. I know.
You're right. He played 4 years. Look at that. Look at that. Huh? I had in my head that he left after his junior year for some reason.
Let's see. How many Final Fours did he go to? Yeah, I think he made it to two. 2009 and 2010.
Okay.
So I think that would put him over the top probably as well. He was a very good college player. So, but I think, when you throw in that he was the best defensive player in the playoffs for 5 years in a row, probably that's got to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And Gobert, I think, will be on the borderline for. I mean, I think Ben Wallace will be a very interesting candidate. A lot of people think that he should be in right now. I haven't gone back and looked at it as closely for him.
Yeah, he's an interesting case because all the value's on one side of the court, and his peak was pretty short.
But Gobert is better offensively than Ben Wallace, too.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So this is one who isn't anywhere close to being in as of now, but could get there, and that's Chris Middleton.
Well, I think he's going to have a wind at his back playing on these Milwaukee teams.
Yeah.
In terms of actually getting voted in, is he a Hall of Fame caliber player? I think this is his first season where he's played at a high enough level that you could start having this conversation.
Yeah.
So he has to keep this up for a few more years.
Yeah. I mean, we'd really need to be 4 years more at this level. He'd need to be playing for, you know, conference finals, win a championship.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, this year he's been nasty. He also has generally played better in the playoffs, although he did have some stinkers last year. But
mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. He probably still has to do some work. I think he's getting pretty close. Been the best player on a good team, made five all-star teams. And I mean, it was the East, but he made all five all-star teams, right? Like he would have been an all-star in the West in any of those seasons. Good. Really good two-way player at a position where it's tough to find those guys. Probably didn't help himself by pushing himself out of two different places. Has had some injury issues, and that's probably the biggest thing. He's almost in a race against time against his knees right now.
I agree.
Where he needs to put together another year or two at a high level before he collapses like the car at the end of the Blues Brothers.
He also has almost no playoff resume to speak of.
Correct. Yeah.
And I think he hasn't had the greatest of playoff series. Probably his best effort was last year.
The Toronto series, I mean, he was good.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I've thought of him as, He really is right on the borderline. I think he's got 4 or 5 top 20 seasons in the NBA.
If his career ended tomorrow, he'd be a no.
Yeah, that's probably right. Because it really, 14-15 is the first big season that he had. And last year was a little bit of a down year for him. He's really got right on that level. And remember, what I was saying is just, that's a prerequisite to me, not you are in if you do.
Right, right.
And I think some of the ancillary stuff he doesn't really have. Not that many games, got a late start, was a gold medalist in 2016, but was a bit player on that team and hasn't done anything that special in the playoffs.
What about the two Wizards, John Wall and Bradley Beal?
Yeah, Beal, that's interesting because he's continued to get better, had some nice runs in the playoffs early on. But he's kind of like a Mitch Richmond for this era, I would say. You know, somewhat similar players. Outside shot is the main focus of their game, but they can do some other stuff. I think he's going to need a little bit more of actually being relevant again from a team standpoint.
There's that. And then, I mean, he didn't make the All-Star team this year, and I think it was merited. Like,
I disagree with that.
But okay. I thought he completely stopped
I think he's a little better than, Domantas Sabonis. might prefer, Bradley Beal over Domantas Sabonis. Okay. I think most NBA GMs would probably agree.
Would probably make that trade. Okay. That's fair.
I think he should have made it. He's definitely one of the 12 best players in the East right now to me.
I was surprised when I was doing the prep for this show how much work he still has to do.
Yeah.
Like, he's really just getting started almost in some ways. Like, there's the number of career accomplishments right now just isn't that impressive. Like John Wall, for instance, in contrast, John Wall has finished in the top 10 in MVP voting. He's made an all-NBA team. He's made 5 all-star teams. Like, John Wall has to do more and get back to that level that he was at to have any chance. But he's built some of those Lego blocks already, whereas Beal is starting almost from the ground right now. I mean, he's made 2 all-star teams, and that's it. That's all he has.
Yeah. And I think he could have made a couple others. He did some stuff in the playoffs, but yeah, it's just I think he's been maybe these last couple of years on like the lower end of the top 20. So yeah, I think he's getting better, at least offensively. So I think it's still possible, but no, I would say he's 50-50 whether he's on the path or not right
now.
And he'll probably have to get to a better team. But if he has 4 more years like this year that he just had, then we're talking. Mm-hmm. Wall, I think, is not going to make it. He's just a little bit too, I mean, I'm kind of operating on the assumption that he's done basically.
Right. At this type of level. What level can he get back to? He has to get back to an all-star-ish level to have a chance.
Kemba Walker?
I can't really see it. I mean, it's pretty late in the day for him already as a small guard. And
yeah, he turns 30 pretty soon.
He has the 2 all-star teams year in the East. I mean, he's had a couple of individually good years, but he certainly hasn't put together like a block of 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah, I mean, Boston would have had to do some pretty special things in these next couple of years in the playoffs to even think about it. He did make that All-NBA team 3rd team last year. But yeah, I think I would skip him. So of this group, I'd say probably Draymond, Butler, Gobert. If you put a gun to my head, I'd say those 3 will get in.
I would agree with that.
All right, we can, I guess, should we have mentioned the late career guys, Rajon Rondo? Does he even deserve a discussion real quick?
I think people are going to try to bring him up. I don't think his career was good enough. I just don't think he was ever good enough offensively. But I also think he was, he played for the Celtics on a team that won the championship. He played for the Lakers.
Yeah, he wasn't actually good that year, by the way.
Yeah,
but
yeah, he's, famous, but
he had 4 years at arguably an all-star level, had some big moments because they're in the playoffs all the time. But you look at the offensive ratings of those teams, and you had Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen on those teams. And the fact that he just didn't need to get guarded and had to have the ball all the time. I thought that was really, you go back and look at it, I think he was massively overrated. And then he has essentially been a bad player ever since he tore his ACL.
Right.
So you're looking at 4 good years, essentially. And those, to me, even were not, I wouldn't have considered him a top 20 player. Many other people would have, but I wouldn't have during that period. So I not a serious candidate to me. I think a lot of people might have them there. Okay. So we're running a little short on time here, but let's talk about some young guys that I think if you ask me yes or no, are they more likely than not to be Hall of Famers? I would say, and these are guys who have established themselves to some degree, I would say yes for the following four players. And you tell me if you feel differently. Karl Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the most controversial, actually, of these. Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider the international stuff. I mean, he's also never gets hurt. So he's not exactly reliant on athleticism either. So some of those guys can drop off pretty quickly because they don't have much of a buffer zone, but he also just doesn't really do things that it's going to get himself hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luka.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, he had maybe the best season by a 20-year-old ever. Joel Embiid.
Yes. Yes. I think that one's pretty certain, that if he's, you know, he just has to stay upright for a couple more years, I think he has a pretty good resume.
I agree with you. I mean, I don't know that he's ever been a top 10 player for me. I think he can play at that type of a level when he's at his best, but he just has gotten hurt too much. So yeah, he's the biggest one. I worry about him because of the injuries, but then it could also be, because he's had really, this is his third season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Like,
right?
His third full season.
Yeah.
And even those seasons, he's missed time, but he's also really, really good. And Towns, I think some people might have questions about why do you think he's going to make it?
I just think offensively, he plays at such a high level that he's going to keep putting up numbers and making all-star teams. But I think also, like, if he's anything defensively at all, he's still pretty early in his 20s, that he's a very valuable player at that point. Like, I was surprised Minnesota struggled as much as they did. I thought Towns would make the leap into being a top 10 player in the league this year, and he didn't.
Well, I think he did until he got hurt. I think he was pretty close to that level. After the first month, I actually had him fifth on my MVP.
Okay.
They were 500.
Yeah, you're right. He was really good early in the year. Yeah. And then when he came back, he wasn't.
Towns, my only concern about him is if he never improves defensively, he's just not going to be on a team that does serious damage.
Yeah. I mean, most of these guys that we've talked about have all been, you know, very few offense only guys that we've talked about.
Well, and not at that position.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jokic, too, but I think especially because the international and the not getting hurt aspects and being on a team that's had a lot more around him, you know, where they're winning 50 games regularly. Towns, it's just, we'll see what they get around him finally. They've been so poorly managed. And he was an important part of a team that was really good when that one year when they had Butler, but then he was terrible in the playoffs.
Yep.
So I worry about him. I think he'll be someone that I will be higher on than a lot of people because I think he just makes a good offense for you on his own.
Yeah. Keep in mind, too, that if the Wolves don't get better, it means Towns is going to end up on another team and presumably a better one.
Presumably.
Right? Because if they don't get better, he'll force his way out.
Okay. We are running short of time. We got about 10 minutes here. So I have another list here. I would say there's two guys who just started this year that I think if they stay healthy will make it. And that's Ja Morant and Zion Williamson.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Yeah. I mean, it's highly speculative, obviously, when we're talking about these guys, but yeah, those are the two guys who seem to be on that kind of pathway.
Yeah. Just when you see of guys who were their age and were this good this early on, and especially at point guard too for Morant, that's a question. So the last category here, I labeled this as the established young guys I think have a solid chance. Who do you think has the best chance of making the Hall of Fame or you think would be the best candidate out of this group?
I mean, this is tough. See, Pascal Siakam, the problem he faces is that he's already old enough that he's in a little bit of that Bradley Beal thing where he's got to do a lot of work these next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Isn't he like 26 already?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you almost can't even call him like one of the young guys, but he just made his first All-Star team. He has to hold this level for quite a while. And then things will start to move in his favor where, you know, people say, okay, and he won a championship and all that, but he's got more work to do than it seems. I would say Ben Simmons, he's such a hellacious defensive player. You know, he could be in a position where he has like 10 all defense selections, right? And
has he made one yet?
If he doesn't make it this year, they need to have an investigation, right?
Well, I guess we could do our all defense teams and we could find that out at some point. But. So I actually have one guy that I think I have higher than anyone else on this list. Mm-hmm. You're going to disagree with me. Trae Young.
No, I was thinking about that. I mean, obviously, he's going to have great offensive stats. With, you know, what will be the perception of him when we look back 5-10 years? Will it be DH?
Yeah. I mean, what will our perception of it be? I mean, to me, I think he's already breaking defenses, and he's just such a good passer. He's doing stuff that's pretty close to unprecedented for a guy his age.
Yeah.
If it weren't for Luka who getting so much of this attention, I think that, and I think people are also not realizing how terrible that team is around him. So there is some uncertainty there. I worry about his ability at the highest levels, but I think he's going to be, I mean, he started the All-Star game. He's going to be an All-Star every year as long as he stays healthy for 10 years.
No, there's a little bit of that, like, kind of Pistol Pete thing with him where people, you know, where you can't tell the story of the game without him, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, I think he's, I thought he was, if not a deserving All-Star starter this year.
He deserved to be on the All-Star team. Yeah, I agree with that.
Other guys on this list here, I mean, Jason Tatum.
Tatum has started on the trajectory, I would say.
Yeah, the thing that he and Siakam have going for them is they're on teams and good teams, good organizations. I think they're going to be in the playoffs every year.
Yeah, yeah. And then Kristaps Porzingis needs to stay healthy, but if so, he may be in a position to ride Luka's coattails right into the Hall of Fame, right?
Well, the other problem for him is there's so many good centers in the West, he may just not be making All-Star teams. Now, I don't think that's fair to him. And I also think he's definitely a second banana, but I think he's a very, very good second
banana. Yeah, very high-level second banana, exactly.
Yeah. He's got one All-Star team to his credit.
Interesting right player here, I think, when it's all said and done, especially if he has a long career. Devin Booker has a chance to put up some huge point totals, like career point totals, like end up in like the top, you know, 10 or whatever in career scoring. And I think if he does something like that, it's going to be tough to keep him out.
Yeah, I think so. And he was, to me, was around the fringes of an All-NBA team this year, and he's still very young.
Yeah.
But you do wonder about him being stuck in Phoenix for a while, how much that's going to hurt him. Brandon Ingram?
Yeah, I mean, he just had his first good season, right? Obviously, if he continues doing this, then I think he would be on a Hall of Fame trajectory. I think it's a little like Tatum, where it's too early to know, but like there's even less body of work than with Tatum almost.
Well, and Tatum is good defensively, which Ingram isn't.
Yeah,
and but he, you know, he could ride the coattails of Zion Williamson too. That could be part of it. But Ingram, to me, I would say less than 50% chance that I will have him as a Hall of Famer. I don't think he should have made the All-Star team this year.
Another guy I want to mention here, De'Aaron Fox is really good this year.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's early still, right? It was his third season and he's, you know, but I think if they picked the All-Star team after game 60, I think he would have made it.
Huh. That's interesting to think about. Yeah. I had him on the list of guys who, if they take a realistic level of improvement, I don't know that I would say that he's on the path. But you could easily see it happening. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander might be another guy like that too.
You can see the path from where he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else do we know? Oh, Bam Adebayo, we didn't mention. He's one who could be, I mean, I don't see why he's not going to be an All-Star in the East for a while now here in the East. the ultimate caveat.
Nate, what about DeMontis Sabonis?
I actually put him on here. Okay. I put him on here just because of a potential international component. As far as that, he may actually be talked about, and also just the Sabonis name as well. I mean, I think he's not going to be even close to worthy, but I could see people talking about him. I had him under the longer shot young guys who we don't have to get through all those. Donovan Mitchell, I think that's probably the last one to talk about here.
Yeah. I think it's unlikely, but it's possible, I guess is how I'd put it. I think he's going to end up being like a level too low, but he's still young enough to get better and improve as a playmaker and really get to that highest level.
Yeah, he's taken incremental steps forward every year. He's still pretty young, made his first All-Star team this year. Maybe, you know, he was right on the borderline for making it. I'm not sure that he's a top 20 player this year.
Exactly.
But he certainly seems very dedicated to getting better. And then just for completism here, other players who stuck out to me as guys who could easily improve to this level, Jaylen Brown and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Well, I'm certainly vouch for Jaren Jackson Jr., yes.
But he's just got to get a lot better defensively, and I don't think he's ever going to be – he'll be a player that maybe people like us will like more than the world at large, because a lot of it'll be defense and spacing will be the two main things. But his usage is pretty high, too. You know, I think he can be sort of the modern-day Al Horford, but a more explosive scorer.
Yeah, yeah. He has to improve on, you know, rebounding, physical strength, awareness as a scorer to be more of a distributor now that he's getting attention. But those are all things that, you know, guys who are 20 get better at typically.
Yeah, he's super young too, even for his draft class. All right, so we'll pack it in here. Anything that you want to talk about before we go as far as like writing you've been doing?
Yeah, you know, I wrote about the Chicago Bulls situation and how the flag has kind of gone up on the off-season hiring process and in front offices, and whether that's going to happen in the coaching world soon too.
And I've been doing we actually broke it off now into a new podcast for people who want to get their coronavirus news. I've looked around. It doesn't seem like there's that many people who are doing this because everyone else kind of has their own job and their own reporting to do. And so Ben Taylor and I, we're basically spending hours and hours every day reading the most important coronavirus news and research and aggregating that together in podcast forms. The idea is that you listen to that for 35 minutes or so, and then you can hopefully trust that you've gotten the important news and go about your day instead of having to obsess over the news for hours, because we're going to do that for you. And John and I will be back next week. We're still on this once a week schedule here. And it's, I've been enjoying getting together every week.
Yeah, yeah, talking basketball. This is my entire social life right now. So it's been great.
Yeah, you got Chad Ford a little bit too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, actually, that's so everyone that you talk to once wrote for ESPN Insider.
Yeah, exactly.
I only wrote 6 articles, but it was something.
My whole network.
All right, y'all. We'll talk to you next week.